Well, throughout my journey here, I get the privilege of asking people about how they live out their faith. And most of the time, the answer comes something like, well, I want to get to church every Sunday, or I'm in church every Sunday, or, you know, it'd be nice if I went to church every Sunday, but... And so I have to ask some more questions. How do you live out your faith beyond coming to worship on Sunday? Do you volunteer anywhere? Do you pray daily? Do you pray before meals? And it's interesting how a lot of times folks are really surprised by these questions, because for some reason, I don't know why, they seem to think that living out your faith means attending church one hour a week. And so I'm excited about this second affirmation. Christian love of God includes listening for God's word, which comes through daily prayer and meditation, through studying the ancient testimonies, which we call scripture, and through attending to God's present activity in the world. So I'd like to break this into three parts. First, scripture. Second, prayer. And the third, God's present activity in the world. Scripture. We all have our favorite scripture, the one we go back to over and over. So what are some of your favorite scriptures? The story or the verse? What are some of your favorite scriptures? I can do all things. What else? Uh-oh, we got some laughing over here. You have a good one. Go ahead, just sit. Okay. And Christopher? Nice. And I saw another hand. Yeah, Micah 6:8. My words shall not go out in vain. Any other favorites? Yes. And my favorite, yes. Oh, okay. Nice. And my favorite is Matthew 25. That's my favorite. So I seem to go back to that over and over. So interestingly, while selecting text to include in the Bible, there was much debate. It was not a simple and easy process in selecting the texts that went into the Bible. So, of course, it would make sense that we would continue to talk and wrestle and learn with the scriptures. The original Christians were mostly hearers. They did not own a Bible. It wasn't even in print, and probably could not read as well. Therefore, the original hearers were listening, basically, for the moral of the text, the why, or what God wanted them to hear or learn from the text. The Bible was put together before the Enlightenment and the Age of Reason. So now, after the Enlightenment and reason, we study Scripture for historical accuracy, and we study it word for word. And this was not the original intent. It was meant to be heard so that folks could hear the main point of the selected text. So we don't need to take it literally. It was never meant to be taken this way. And so what if we use the rule of love to review the Bible? What if we examine the text through the lens of the golden rule? How would we see Scripture? And what would we choose to emphasize if we studied Scripture always asking, does this speak of the greatest commandment according to Jesus? Love your neighbor as yourself. And prayer. Some say prayer is as important as studying Scripture. Jesus sure prayed a lot. Luke 5:15-16. But now more than ever, the word about Jesus spread abroad. Many crowds would gather to hear him and be cured of their diseases. But Jesus would withdraw to deserted places and pray. Luke 6, verse 12, "Now during those days, Jesus went out to the mountain to pray, and he spent the night in prayer to God." And Luke 11, verse 1, "Jesus was praying alone with only the disciples near him." And in our text today from Job, boy, did Job pray a lot. He prayed a lot. And in the text that we read today, that Joyce read today, God said, "Hey, listen, I got something to tell you." And so Job also listened to God. So many years ago, probably I'd say 7 or 8 years ago, I was driving to a funeral with a teenager who really hadn't been exposed to church much. And so as we were driving there, so this was his uncle's death, his uncle's funeral by marriage. And they had actually gotten divorced. So he knew this man, but he really was going to support his cousins because this was his cousin's father. But he wasn't, you know, he knew the man, but not real well. So he asked me, "So when I get there, what do I say? And what do I do when I go to the casket? What do I say for the prayer? And how do I pray?" He's asking all these questions about prayer. He wasn't quite sure what the protocol was and how to pray. And all I could say was, "I feel like we're already praying now, because we're having a conversation about what we would like to say to God. Prayer is just a conversation. And so you don't have to do it just right and say the perfect words. You just need to say what's on your heart. So when you go to the casket, if you would like to say something in gratitude of this man's life or in thankfulness to God for this person being here to be the father to your cousins, whatever is on your heart is okay. And then you can say amen, and then you can walk away." And I was trying to make it as simple as possible because prayer really, even though we want to do it right, it is pretty simple. God wants us to have a relationship with God. Well, so prayer is part of this affirmation. God wants us to have a relationship with God. Well, relationships take time and dedication. And so I challenge all of us to be praying at least 30 minutes a day. Talk and then listen. And you may be thinking, "Well, I'm not good enough to pray." Well, guess what? God loves you and cares about you. God is not making a list of your faults before God reaches out to you. God just loves you and would like to have a relationship with you. You are worthy of God's love, no matter your past or your present. And so Abe Lincoln said this, "I have been driven many times upon my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that of all about me seemed insufficient for the day." So what if Abe Lincoln waited to pray until he knew he could impress God with his wisdom? And how could we possibly be impressing God with our wisdom? If Abe Lincoln knew that he was as humble as the rest of us in talking with God. Which brings me to my last thought. You may be thinking, "Well, I don't know what to say, especially for 30 minutes. Well, you don't have to say anything. You actually could just listen. Mother Teresa, when asked, "What does she say to God?" said, "I don't say anything. I listen." Well, you may be thinking, "I've never heard God before." Well, most people don't hear a big booming voice of God as we see on the movies and on TV. Yet, we may perceive God by noticing how our perception of everything else changes in response to our prayer, our listening, and our noticing. And this is the third part of the affirmation, God's activity in the world. We may notice God's activity if we are praying 30 minutes or more each day, truly listening for God, and studying the scripture with the lens of the golden rule. Amen.